The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 122, Mayberry Mountain People. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weaver's. You can pick up all kinds of great Mayberry items. We even got things that are just Mayberry related, like Matlock. So drop by over there. There's all kinds of DVDs, T-shirts, and things you'll enjoy. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Executive producer of Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 122, is Joe Gritton. So Joe, thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it. Hey everybody, I'm your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, Alan Newsom, and I really am glad to have you stopping by and visiting with me here in Mayberry again this week. And today's podcast is titled Mayberry Mountain People. The way I came up with that title is basically I've been, always trying to come up with new fun things for us to talk about here on the podcast. And I was going through the back issues of The Bullet. Now, The Bullet is the official newsletter of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. And you'll find those if you go to imayberry.com. That's the homepage for the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club, imayberry.com. And I was going through them, and I was trying to see if there was things in there that might be interesting to share on the podcast. I talked to Jim Clark and Ken Beck. Those guys, they said, hey, go for it. So, and this particular one is Volume 1, Issue 2 of The Bullet from March 18th, 1983. So I thought this was a fun thing. I'm going to read you this article by Ken Beck called Mayberry Mountain People. Now, if you're not interested in that, later on the episode, we're going to have some feedback from Paul Mulick about the last episode where we're talking about Don Knotts' Ferreira Friends. And you'll want to stick around for that. So anyway, here we go. This first section here is going to be about Mayberry Mountain People. It's an article from The Bullet back from 1983. So keep that in mind because some of the data is dated, but it's pretty neat to read back and see where we were in 1983 when the Rerun Watchers Club had just started publishing The Bullet. So I'm going to try to read this to you, and I'm going to mess up on at least a few words, but let's go. Ken Beck wrote this, so here's what it says. Remember the hillbilly folks of Mayberry? Sure you do. Who could ever forget the mountain patriarch, Briscoe Darlin, his four handsome, musically inclined sons, sweet smiling daughter, Charlene, and that wild man of the hills, brick-throwing Ernest E. Bass? Well, where are they now? Whatever happened to the Mayberry Mountaineers? Here's a little follow-up. Briscoe Darlin, alias Denver Pyle, has left the mountains of North Carolina for the flatlands of Hazard County. And now, instead of four sons, he's got himself a peck of trouble with four nephews and a niece. That's right, he's Uncle Jesse on the Dukes of Hazzard. Of course, between Sheriff Andy Taylor and Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane, Denver Pyle passed through a whole parcel of TV series. Among his TV credits are Tommy, The Doris Day Show, and The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. Roscoe P. Coltrane, by the way, is played by James Best, who also portrayed Andy's guitar-playing buddy Jim Lindsay on The Andy Griffith Show. Pyle, though, is really from Rocky Mountains of Colorado. He was wounded in World War II off the Guadalcanal. He returned stateside to study drama. His early roles were with Roy Rogers and Gene Autry in their TV series. Top film credits of Pyle include Bonnie and Clyde, Five Card Stud, Bandolaro, Shenandoah, and the man who shot Liberty Valance. Now, for the boys, as Mr. Darling often referred to his four fun-loving, warm and amusing sons, the Darling boys were, in real life, the Dillards, a bluegrass band fresh out of the Ozark Mountains. The quartet left their hometown of Salem, Missouri, and headed across the country to Hollywood. There were numerous breakdowns along the way, though, and the Dillards had to make a few stops to earn a little traveling money before they reached their destination. Eventually, they hit the Ash Grove, an L.A. bluegrass club, where the four played while an Elektra Records executive sat in the audience. He liked what he heard and soon offered the Dillards a recording contract. At the same time, the Andy Griffith Show was looking for a bluegrass group to play the Darling Boys. The Dillards auditioned and got the role on the spot. The original Dillards are made up of brothers Doug and Rodney Dillard and their friends Dean Webb and Mitchell Jane. Doug has his own bluegrass group, the Doug Dillard Band, while Rodney still leads the Dillards. Dean Webb is still in the group with Rodney, while Mitchell Jane's returned to Salem to become a writer, a quite successful one, according to Doug. In fact, one story, Old Fish Hawk, has been made into a movie. Doug, meanwhile, has recorded quite a few albums and has a new one coming out this spring. This was 1983, remember? Rodney has just come out with Earl Scruggs on his single, Sitting on Top of the World. The brothers still enjoy jamming together occasionally, and they are close friends with John Hartford, another Missouri native, and ex-Bird member, Gene Clark. Doug Dillard has also been featured in a couple of films lately. He appeared in Bette Midler's The Rose and in Popeye as, you know, what else, a banjo player. He also did most of the banjo music for the movie Bonnie and Clyde. The Dillards and Doug's band both work out of Nashville, but both also return frequently to Salem, Missouri. Doug has fond memories of the Andy Griffith Show and says, being on that show was probably the highlight of my career. He can only recall one line that the brothers ever spoke on the show, and that was, "Great beans, Aunt B," after Aunt B had fed the boys at the jail on one occasion. Margaret, Maggie, Ann Peterson, played the Darling sister Charlene. After the Andy Griffith Show, she did a few feature films, but most were small roles, and we just don't know quite what she's doing right these days. Of course, we do now, but we didn't then. Ken goes on to say, and as for Ernest T. Bass, he was played by Howard Morris. He was a regular on Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows, and he has portrayed all sorts of characters other than the cantankerous yet hilarious Ernest T. Most recently, he was on Mary Tyler Moore's variety show as a regular performer. He is now in New York, where he is quite successful as a producer and director of commercials. His most recent film role was in Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1. His feature film directing credits include Who's Minding the Mint? With Six You Get Egg Roll, and Don't Drink the Water. As writer, director, actor, and comedian, Morris has received platitudes for his work in all fields. Nowadays, he's specializing in directing TV commercials, where he has won a Clio and an Andy Award for his excellence from various advertising councils. You may have seen his handiwork in commercials for such giants as McDonald's Hamburgers, Jif Peanut Butter, Kmart, and Kellogg's Rice Krispies. And finally, we have Bob Denver, well known as Maynard G. Krebs on Dobie Gillis, and the star of Gilligan's Island, who once appeared as Charlene's husband, Dud. He's still acting and just recently starred as a chemist in NBC's The Invisible Woman. Oh, and by the way, Alan Hale, who played the skipper on Gilligan's Island, also played Mayberry farmer Jeff Pruitt on one Andy Griffith Show episode, and Hale can be seen playing occasionally on guest spots on television. Mayberry's Mountain, folks, just keep on climbing. So that's from 1983. So it's pretty neat to see where we were back in 1983. We didn't know anything about Maggie Peterson. They had not, I guess, gotten in touch with her, had not been able to contact and talk with her at this point. So it's pretty neat to see that. And, of course, there's updates. You know, Denver Pyle passed away on Christmas Day in 1997. He was 77. Mitch Jane, we know he just passed away recently at the time of this recording, August 2nd of 2010. He was 82 when he passed. Bob Denver passed away back in September 2nd, 2005 at 70 years old. And Hearns T. Bass himself, Howard Morris, he passed away at the age of 85 on May 21st, 2005. But I just thought this was a fun bit of our history as fans of the Andy Griffith Show. And if you don't have them, you can go over to Weaver's department store and you can get back issues of The Bullet. And they're not all available, but a lot of them are. And you can get these paper copies of the newsletter that used to be put out by the Andy Griffith Show called The Bullet. And you can have those sent to you. You can find some of these little treasures as you read through as well. We're going to try to do a little more of this as the time passes by here. As the podcast rolls along, different episodes, I may be going back into the archives of The Bullet and pulling out articles and stories from there. Jim Clark has given me permission to do that and share those with you because while I read them, it's been a long time since I read them. So this was the first time I had read this story in many, many, many years. And it was a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now I've got something else for you. Last week, our podcast episode was called Don Knotts' Ferreira Friends. And in that episode, we talked about a fellow named Richard Ferreira and his sister, Lee Ferreira Cannon. Her last name's Cannon now. She's married. And they were friends with Don Knotts. Well, I got a voicemail from our friend Paul Mulick with this bit of information.
Hey, Alan, it's Paul Mulick calling again. I had a comment to make on the podcast you did about Don Knotts' friends, the Ferraras, one of them being Richard Ferreira. They actually used his name in an episode. It's Ernest T. Bass Joins the Army. You might remember there's a scene where Andy and Barney are in the courthouse, and people keep calling in to say that Ernest T. Bass is breaking their windows. Well, one of the calls comes in, and Andy hangs up and says that Ernest T. just broke the window out of Richie Ferrara's hardware store. And I have no proof of this, but I imagine that was added just as a way, you know, to say hi to Don's friend who was most likely watching the episode, you know. And if I might make a suggestion, that could be a good idea for a future podcast, to do a show about real people, like friends and relatives of Andy's who are mentioned in different episodes. Just a thought. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Paul, thanks so much for calling in because that is a great bit of memory you had there. So, folks, let's for those of us who are like me who did not remember this, I'm going to play the entire scene. Now, what would happen, and if you'll remember, Ernest T. had tried to join the Army on that episode, and he had not been allowed to because he's crazy, you know. He's a nut, as Barney would say. And so since he had not been allowed to join, he was going to go through town and breaking windows or something. So here's the scene at the courthouse and the audio from it.
Courthouse, Sheriff Taylor. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Right. Okay. Thanks, Merlin.
Well?
Merlin Bracey saw a fellow break a streetlight in front of Miss Mingus's house.
Not so fast. But, Andy, we can nail him if we hustle.
I doubt it. Ernest T. ain't about to break a streetlight and stand around in the dark looking for his rock. Let's just wait till a few more calls come in and find out what direction he's headed.
But, Andy...
Sheriff's office. Right, Hanaloo. We'll get him. Just broke two panels out of Hanaloo Smith's greenhouse.
He's coming this way.
We'll wait for him at the corner of Pine and Main. Sheriff's office. Uh-huh. Okay. Right, Richie. He's coming closer. Just broke the window out of Richie Ferrara's hardware store. You go out front, I'll go around back.
There it was right at the end. He just broke the window out of Richie Farrar's hardware store. It's had to have been a reference to Don's friend. So, Paul, thank you so much for pointing that out. I did not remember that, but I agree with you. There's no way that that's not who that's referring to. Has to be. So thanks so much for catching that and for calling in and sharing it with us. Let's hear this again. We'll start about halfway through this. It's right at the end where he talks about Richie Ferrara's hardware store. So I'll start in the middle of this.
Right, Hanaloo. We'll get him.
And I'll point this out as we get there.
Just broke two panels out of Hanaloo Smith's greenhouse.
He's coming this way.
We'll wait for him at the corner.
It's right after this next call. So Andy's going to say it.
Sheriff's office. Uh-huh.
Right here. He's facing the door.
Okay. Right, Richie. He's coming closer. Just broke the window out of Richie Farrar's hardware store. You go out the front. I'll go around the back.
There it was. So I asked Ernest T. Bass... it was that Richie Farrar, and this is the only reply I got.
I ain't talking. The more you're asking, the more I'm balking.
That's all he would give me. So I can't confirm if that's really who Richie Farrar was, but it could be. And, of course, you know, as we were coming over there, he's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, come on, Deputy. Come on.
Barney's trying to help me get it out of him.
If I'd seen you was coming, I'd know what to do. I'd have risen both arms and I'd have wove at you.
You would not hold still.
All right, you stand still, Ernest T. Bass, and that's an order. If a duck stands still, you can catch him by the bill.
So there's Ernest T. Bass, folks, and wow, what a great character he was. Now, the episode we were talking about there is called Ernest T. Bass Joins the Army. It was episode number 98 aired, so that was and it was filmed back in 1963. October 14th of 1963, written by Jim Fritzell and Everett Greenbaum. Folks, if you want to look up, there's some great stuff like that out at, if you go to mayberry.info, that's our wiki for the Andy Griffith Show itself, and it's the Mayberry Historical Society, and you can go there and add information if you have it. You can go there and add the information. All right, folks, well, that's about it for today. We've got some more feedback and things like that that I have gotten, and if I hadn't gotten it aired yet, it will eventually. So I want to thank all of you for calling in or writing in or, posting messages over at Facebook. Not Facebook. Well, Facebook as well, but over at iTunes. Folks, if you subscribe using iTunes, it would be a very beneficial for me if you could go over there and post – post your reviews and comments about what you think about the Andy Griffith, about this podcast, I should say. And we did get one comment. Let me go ahead and read that for you. We got a comment over there at iTunes on our podcast site there. Got 5 stars, and I want to thanks for that. But somebody, O. Quigley, posted and he said, I listen to the podcast every morning on my way to work. I enjoy the commentary and the little things that I wouldn't have noticed about if it weren't for the podcast. It has brought me to a different way of watching the episode. So I want to thank O. Quigley there for writing in and posting that at the iTunes site. So if you subscribe to iTunes, if you'll go there to our site there at iTunes, if you search for Two Chairs No Waiting in the search bar, you'll find us. And if you can leave comments there, that helps people be able to find the Two Chairs No Waiting podcast in iTunes. It'll pop us maybe higher up the list. But I do appreciate all the 5-star ratings I've gotten from the podcast, and we really appreciate that. If you would like to leave me a message, I would love to hear from you. Just like Paul did, you can call in at 888-684-8415. You can email me at Floyd@iMayberry. Remember, that's a change in address. It's Floyd@iMayberry.com. Just the letter I, Mayberry.com. Floyd@iMayberry.com. Or you can go over to the Facebook page at Facebook.com/2chairs and leave a comment there. Or the easiest way is probably, other than calling, I'd love to hear your voice. You can go to the TwoChairsNoWaiting.com website and leave a comment on any of the the episodes there, the show notes. If you leave a comment there, I will see them. So, folks, I just want to thank you again for dropping by here and visiting with me here in Mayberry. And until next time, we'll see you then on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Bye, folks. See you then.